You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to my house, our house, whatever house, on a Thursday. Just back from 29 Palms again. Yeah. Yeah, I went up there yesterday afternoon, got out of here early, beat the traffic, and my idea was, because when it's the third time I've been up there in about a week, so the other day, I was, so the way you get to 29 Palms is you drive out to 10, you drive up to 10, and you get on the 62 right before you get to Palm Springs. You see Palm Springs, and then you get on the 62, and you go up the hill. Right? As you approach 29 Palms, you hang a left on Lear Avenue. Right? And you go down Lear Avenue, about 2.5 miles, and hang a right, and that takes you to the kind of to the road, the street, the boulevard, because it's pretty wide, that takes you into the main gate of the base. As you get to the corner of that street that takes you to the main base, and you're going to hang a left, the other day I was driving, and I noticed a sign for the DMV. Now, the last time I went to the DMV around here, I spent 6 hours down there. Yeah. I thought, you know what? How about if I leave maybe, 45 minutes early, I'll go to the DMV and I'll bang this thing out in 5 minutes. So that's what I do. So I get there and, I'm paying my fee and all the rest of that nonsense. And the guy looks at me and goes, do you have your smog certificate? And I said, I just did that. He goes, you have to have it done every other year now. I'm like, are you shitting me? So you have cars cleaner than ever now. Now, I would understand it. So somebody knew somebody in the smog industry and said, yeah, we need to help these boys out. So anyway, so I'm like, whatever. I don't know. And, again, he's a DMV guy. I don't need to be taking my shit out on him. And so every other year, I thought it was every 5 years. I think it used to be every 5 years. Now, every other year. And it would make sense to me if the car is older than 10 years, right? But new cars every other year, really? So, now, but the thing that really irritates me, and it's about 4:10 at the time, I have to meet, I have to link up with Marines from 1st Battalion, 24th Marine, no, I'm sorry, CLB 23, which is where I spoke last night, at 5:45. The DMV closes at 5. So I get done, and the guy says, okay, all you have to do is, I said, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get this done, I'll be right back. So I drive out, I'm looking for a place that does a smog check. I get to the main crossroads in 29 Palms. I look left and right. I don't see anything that looks like a automotive shop or anything like that. So I see a car wash. So I pull in the car wash. Dude's sitting around. It's like 110 there. And I said, hey, man, where can I get my car smogged? And they said, Bailey's. And they point like across the street and down. I'm like, thanks, boys. They're like, no problem. So I pull into Bailey's. I'm like, all right, man, if they can do this thing, I'll get the certificate. I got to get through the door at 5 o'clock. Now it's 4:20. So I walk in. I said, hey, do you guys smog cars? And the woman says, yes. And I said, how long will it take? She said, well, it takes 30 minutes. And I said, I'm trying to get back to the DMV. Is there any way? She said, well, we can't do it faster than the state says. I'm like, shit. And so I get ready to walk out. And the owner turns and looks at me and he says, where are you trying to be? I said, at the DMV at 5. He said, we'll do it. Right? So he says, here, give me your keys. So he takes my keys, puts it on the smog machine, blah, 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 blah. And they smog my car, give me the certificate, I pay, I run back down to the DMV, get through the door before 5, which takes a grand total of, and there's nobody there, right? So I walk over to the window, I hand them that, they hand me my registration. That's right, DMV in 29 Palms, man. If you want to get your shit done and you don't want to stand in line, that's the place to go. Nah, you know, they were nice people, so, yeah, good stuff. So, I'll tell you about speaking with 124 here in a little bit, but couple current events things, and we'll talk about the Straits of Hormuz here in a little bit, and the Gulf of Oman, and what's going on down there. Because I mean, in 1987 we did something very similar, and the Iranians were putting mines, and we caught them. I was in the Combat Information Center when it happened. So anyway, we'll talk about that. David Ortiz, though. Oh, before that. All you Boston fans, oh my God, my heart breaks for you losers. No, I didn't want to tell you this before, but I knew you were going to lose. You want to know why? Bill Buckner just died. Right? He, the first baseman, great guy, great competitor, playing for the Red Sox in the 1986 World Series, and he misses a ball. They lose the World Series, and it's baseball history. He died less than a month ago. Now, in my experience with life, when somebody has something like that happen and you shit all over them for years, which they did, they drug him through the streets of Boston for years. They ran him out of that town. And then you kind of try to make good years later. Let me just tell you, that is the curse of Bill Buckner. That's right. You will not throw that one off for a long time. You will. So all you people from Boston, listen to me. You are not going to win anything because of the transgressions that you committed against a great guy. Right, and it wasn't enough just to be upset, right? What you did to him was wrong. It was mean-spirited, and your media encouraged it. And so you have to pay. You have to pay, so you will not win a championship for many, many, many moons. Boom. I hope you enjoyed last night. Get used to it. Because you need to atone for your fucked up behavior to that dude. And it was fucked up. Because I watched it. People dragging him through the streets. People treated him like garbage in that city. So, So it's all your Boston. Now, one more Boston sports story is in the news. David Ortiz got shot, right? Have you read the story? Have you seen how much they offered the dudes that shot him? They offered the dudes that shot him $7,800 to kill him. $7,800. Come on. If I was him, I'd be pissed at that. You were going to kill me for $7,800? I had that in my wallet, man. I had twice that in my wallet. I'd have given that to you. You could have robbed me and got more than that. $7,800. Yeah. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Yeah, so the Boston sports scene. No bueno. $7,800 though. To kill that guy. Sitting in an outdoor club in the Dominican Republic. Dude walking down the sidewalk. Shoots him. Right? And like a lot of novice shooters, I don't know if he's aiming for the middle of the back, but it looks like only one gunshot. Now you gotta be a pretty good shot to kill somebody with one shot. And you probably should get a little bit closer. But like most pistol shooters, pulls the round down and to the right and hits him in the side. You know, I want to say something about something the president said yesterday. Nancy Pelosi's talking about it now. Right? How do we know politicians are lying? Because their lips are moving, right? So the president got asked by George Stephanopoulos, what would you do if, you know, somebody brought some foreign entity brought you information about your opponent. Would you call the FBI? Would you look at it? And the president's response was, I'd probably do both. Now, what's hilarious to me, I mean, it almost borders on comedy. The political party that gave us that gave us all of this shit, is the Democrats. And they're bloviating and are sanctimonious, and the media won't ask him. It was your party that did this. You trafficked in it. Your party didn't do this. And you have all these Democrats standing up, and you know if they were running for the office of presidency, for the President of the United States, and somebody brought this to them, you know that they wouldn't go running, to the FBI saying, oh, good God, you know, oh, Lord, look what's happened, right? What would they say? What pray tell would a politician in the United States do? Would they go get a policeman? No, they would not. I mean, it's just, honestly, it is insulting to watch this shit on a daily basis if you have half a brain, right? Ms. Pelosi, right? She had nothing to do with anything. She had no influence on anything. She just stood there with her hands in her pockets. Nothing to see here, right? Nothing to see here, right? Nothing to see here. It's just, they make me sick to my stomach. And to hear, like, the sanctimonious bullshit that they put out is, honestly, it is disgusting. And you hear it, and the incredulous tone that they take. Like, are you kidding me? Do you think the rest of us are so stupid that we believe this stuff? And they must. Like, hey, we don't really care what you believe. You know, it's just the subject of the day. It's not like we're trafficking in the truth or anything like that. It's not like anybody cares, right, what we say. So, I mean, come on. Get with the program, man. Who cares? All right, I guess. Sometimes I forget it's politics. I think, like, at some point, maybe the truth is important. Oh, yeah, well, you would be wrong about that. I guess. But it's honestly, I mean, it is absolutely amazing to watch it on given days. Absolutely amazing. And you just think, man, they must think we're the dumbest shit in the world. They're if you watch the things that they do, there can be no other conclusion. Right? So the party that gave us this garbage, right, they now believe that they can say, oh, we would never do that, and we'll just go, got it, no problem. Yeah, they do believe that. Okay, boys and girls, that's all for today. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Quote, this is on the scroller, so I can't hear it, but I'm watching it. Everybody in the country should be totally appalled by what the president said last night. You mean other than Hillary Clinton, right? And other than all the people that trafficked in it. Other than John McCain, right? God rest his soul. So all the people that played in this game, right? Other than them, you mean? Well, yeah, other than them, that's true. Oh, so you don't mean everybody? Well, no. What about the people at Justice and the people at the other places that used it, that they also trafficked it? What about them? Yeah, well, not so much them either. Okay. All right, so this list is shrinking now, right? Yeah. It is shrinking. Interesting. Again, so it just gets stupid. It gets stupider and stupider and stupider as the days go on. And again, I don't know if they actually believe that, you know, if they actually believe that you know, we as Americans are stupid enough to believe the garbage that comes out of Washington, D.C. Right? And let me tell you, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are no different from anybody else. Right? Well, maybe they are a little bit different. You know, and I think, and again, all I think the president, while I wish he would say, oh, I would go straight to the FBI, he answered it honestly. I'd take a look at it. And I'd call the FBI. That's a pretty honest answer. You may not like it, but that's a pretty honest answer. So, I don't know. It's just amazing. And you see this, right, on a daily basis. But this is even more. So anyway. All right. I want to talk about my experience last night Maybe I should save that. Maybe I should start the program. Let me just tell you, last night, I was stationed at 29 Palms, right? There's a certain way that we used to go to work. And, you know, we'd leave Mainside, we'd head out towards Camp Wilson and the Expeditionary Airfield. And then there was a road that we called Range Road. And we'd take that into the training areas. Well, there's another road there now that goes, if you kept going, like, out the back of the, past the Expeditionary Airfield, there's another road that heads down, I don't know if they call that Power Line Road, but it runs down a power line. Normally, we have really technical terms for places like that, like Power Line Road. So, anyway, we head out into the training areas, and you would not, if you haven't been to 29 Palms in a while, you would be astounded at what you will find there. The training facilities that were built to support the efforts in both Afghanistan and Iraq are absolutely incredible. I kid you not. Everything from firm bases that you would work out of, that you would go occupy, and then right, and do security there for yourself. And you have those. You have, let's see. You have, logistics support areas. So specifically designed with wood piles, with gravel piles, things that those guys make stuff out of. Those are there. Okay. So, so those are there. The, what else do you have? You have these huge, huge cities that are built, right? To replicate other, cities in Afghanistan and Iraq. And again, most combat towns that existed in the Marine Corps years ago might, on their best day, might support a company attack. The ones we're talking about now, we're talking about supporting maybe a regimental attack. They're huge. So, I mean, I saw this stuff in 2010-11 when we were out in 29 Palms. And so it's pretty amazing. But it's pretty amazing, you know, driving out there last night because it's been a few years since I've seen it. So we used to go out Range Road. And so driving out there, it reminded me of going to work. So when you're stationed out in 29 Palms, it's really cool if you're a grunt. Because if you're a grunt, you get a chance to do your thing out there. You get a chance to go to the field, and you get a chance to practice your craft, you know, because you can do live fire. And then if you're smart about it, right, if you're smart and you know people and you know units coming out to do CACs and stuff, you pick up the phone and you call them and you said, hey, man, you know, I've got a company and we've got some open space on our training schedule. We'd love to be a part of your we used to call them CACs or ITXs. So if you cut a drug deal, you know, you could say, hey, look, you can use me during your 3-day exercise part of it. And the only and they're like, wow, that'd be cool. We'll have another separate, you know, you can act as a battalion. Yeah, I mean, I've got 30 vehicles, LAVs, and we'll be all over the place. Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, yeah. You know, hey, Matt, so what do we have to do? Well, could you, could I use your gas? They said, yeah, you can use our gas that we have budgeted. Could I shoot your 25 millimeter ammunition that is dedicated for the exercise? Yes. We're not using it. All right. And, you know, whatever else. So you make your drug. So you could, I mean, if you were smart, you could do some cool stuff. And it was great because the Marines loved it. I mean, you're out there, you know, let's go to the field. And I had a good company. And we were good. And they liked it. But so yesterday driving out there reminded me of going to work, man. Going to work. And And the distances in the desert are forever, right? Because you come over a ridgeline, and it's like you see something. It's like, yeah, that's 30 minutes away. What? We can see it. Doesn't matter, man. That's 12 miles. And we're not going very fast. We're going 30 miles an hour. So if we were going 60, that would be 12 minutes. But we're going 25 to 30, so that's a half hour. Shit. So anyway. So I want to thank everybody involved with CLB 23 last night. So we get to the LSA, and it's a firm base, essentially. And Marines are got to, I don't know, around 1,800, 1,830. And I wanted to talk to the leaders just to talk to them about some of the stuff 2nd Marine Division has done. So, I mean, this class will be something. But what you do on the backside of it is important. And these are just some of the things they've done. And so we talked about that. And we got a chance to talk to our CO. And so we do post-traumatic winning outside in the sand. They had kind of I won't say a theater, but they had a screen set up and a sound system set up. So we did it in the sand. It was cool. Marines brought their camp stools and sat on the dirt and talked about post-traumatic winning. And it's, to me, the reserves are interesting and exciting to do it with because they're all going home to communities, right, you know, in a couple weeks. And I told them, you can take this to your community. And you can change your community, right? In addition to changing your friends, touching your family with these ideas about living with trauma. And again, it's illustrated to me. I'm going to share an email with you. I'm not going to tell you who sent it to me, but I'm going to, share an email with you. And it's from somebody who, it's from somebody who wants me to, come do post-traumatic wing for a reunion. All right, let me find this. What the hell happened to it? I don't know what happened to it. I responded too. Email entitled Smog from Ohio Man. Great. Newsham is sending a SWAT team to Bailey's as we speak. Probably. Let me just tell you, man. You know, the desert is home to some crazy people, right? And if you've ever been stationed out there, you've met them, right? They're the crazy desert people. And you see them, and they're scary. I mean, I would tell you that it's not too far from, like my kids will watch that zombie shit that's on TV. And I can't stand it, okay? To me, it's just like stupid. It's dumber than dumb could be. And I just walk out of the room. Like I cannot, my brain cannot stand to be insulted like this. Whatever, Dad. So, so I'm driving out there and it's 114 and I see this woman, I mean, and I think a lot of people with mental health issues, she's got a jacket on with a hood on. And I'm like, what the hell? And she's kind of hunched over, and you're like, oh, my God. But there's people like that in the desert for some reason. The desert, they're desert people. So you walk into Bailey's, and he's got all these signs up, all these, like signs you buy in, like, an antique store. But they're not really antique signs, but they look like it. So, one of them is no trespassing. Violators will be shot. Survivors will be shot a second time. Right? So they have all those kind of signs. Right? And they're just a bunch of older dudes that are mechanics that are working there. And it's the desert's always an interesting place. So if a SWAT team heads out there, man, you better take your good stuff. Don't think you're gonna go and tread lightly, because it's not gonna work. This is entitled Bill Buckner. Mac, they won 3 World Series since. No. He died, though. Right? He died. He just died. So the curse goes into effect upon his death. That's how that works. And the Bruins were the first ones to suffer that. So there will be no more. As the curse went into place upon his death. What the hell did I do? Oh, here it is. Let me just read you. I won't tell you who this is from. But he's talking about the problems that they've had. The Marines you'll be meeting with went through an eye-deep level of hell in XYZ in XYZ year. Lost good Marines, civilians wasted, and not really clear who won or lost. There were plenty of injuries and wounded, but I think the mental stuff has been the worst. We just lost one of my friends this week in a motorcycle club shootout in Tennessee. We have guys stuck on opiates and meth. Tons of bad marriages, some suicides. We have men who are good at lying about their feelings and sorrow. It's not all bad, honestly. It's sometimes hard to tell because we all split up to the winds when we came home. We've had enough platitudes. We've heard plenty from politicians and generals and sergeant majors. Yet the pep talks did nothing. I'm a budding scientist with a hard nose for bullshit. You can't really ask a person to pull themselves up by the bootstraps when they have no boots. You can't ask someone who's always had a battle buddy and a watchful eye of a good NCO or CO just to figure it out on their own. I believe a lot of our crew needs something more concrete. Some want help, some need it, but won't ask for it, or don't know how to. Could be the VA or private, tons of options. How do you get through to them? How can you help when you can't pull rank? I think ends it. I hope this is enough for you to chew on. I enjoyed listening to your interview with Carl Marlantis from July of 2017 on your channel. So, you know, I read that a little bit ago, and I thought, so what did they expect, right? What did they expect? So you go to war, and again, here's what I reject. What I reject is this. I reject that the less than 1% that goes and serves the country all of a sudden becomes dysfunctional because they're in a combat event. The same DNA that sent you to door number 4, and that is the Marine Corps, the same DNA that sent you there sees you through this kind of shit. I believe. I absolutely believe this. And so when they leave us, what do we, again, I don't want to get into transition and shit like that, but I mean, what is their expectation? What do we do for them? And, you know, again, my experience is this stuff starts with the truth, man. It starts with the truth. And if you'll tell them the truth, most of them will figure it out. But it's got to start with the truth. What is true? And again, this notion of resiliency is bouncing back. Bouncing back to what? So, I mean, I struggle with a lot of the stuff that we tell. We tell veterans, and particularly, you know, guys who've fought. And again, all I do is I say, hey, man, look, I didn't make this stuff up. I've been interviewing people for now over 3 years. And these are simply the fundamental truths that I know to be true and to be real. And I'm sharing them with you. And if you don't like it, I don't give a fuck. All I'm telling you is this is the truth. And so if you don't share that, if you don't start from a position of truth, then where do they go? What do? Is they try to make sense of it. And they haphazardly sort their way through this shit. Where does that leave them? Well, it leaves them adrift. So my frustration is that, you know, we talk in these terms. You know, and I don't use the term resiliency. Bounce back to what? So I take this experience and these other things that happen to me, and I'm supposed to be resilient. And then somebody like me comes along and says, yeah, you're not getting over it. What? What about resiliency? Yeah, I don't know about Rod. I don't even know what that is, man. So what is it to be resilient? I don't know. To bounce back from bad shit? And do I bounce back to zero? Do I bounce back to -5? Do I bounce back to -15? Do I bounce back to zero? Well, I mean, I think most people tell you, you bounce back to, if you're resilient, you bounce back to something less than you used to be because, after all, now you're damaged, right? Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like that. All right, so that's me for the rest of my life. I'm a damaged version of what I used to be. Well, as far as I can tell, it's the way it looks to me. And that's as good as it gets. As far as I can tell... That's the way it looks to me. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. And so, I mean, any wonder why people struggle? I mean, I don't wonder. I don't wonder. And so again, I live this every day. I mean, and even last night. I mean, so, you know, we do this thing in the dirt. And let me tell you, the Marines are awesome. And the sun's going down. You couldn't see the screen, right? Which is not really, the videos are not as important as the audio that comes out. The audio is that goes with post-traumatic winning is pretty amazing. It's powerful stuff. It's not what they expect. So instead of hearing Chesty Puller and generals and colonels and sergeant majors and shit, they hear my sister, they hear Will Smith, they hear oh my God, what's her name? I forgot her name. The girl from Salt Lake City, what's her name? Yeah, the curse started, make no mistake about it. And it sealed with his death. That makes it a powerful curse. Yeah, because of the way that those people treated him. Elizabeth Smart. They hear a Jewish rabbi. So, and those are all very deliberately chosen. Because I don't want this. We're not going to go down the same road you've been going down, all right? And so you read this stuff. And so if we would have looked at these Marines years ago and said, "All right, let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth that comes from our culture." You, and again, you know, it was really weird for me. Not weird, but well, it was different. The helicopter crash that you've heard me talk about this. Occurred over the ridgeline from where I was last night. I said, over that ridgeline is a canyon called Wood Canyon. That's where this happened. So I wasn't far from where that event occurred. Now, if they would have had somebody like I had that walked up to them and said, hey, you know you're never going to get over this, right? How different would their lives be? And what we want you to do is take this experience, right? We want you to couple it like a train couples it, right? To these truths that our culture knows. Boom. Right? And then we want you to incorporate these goals, first to learn how to coexist. Second, to embrace self-discipline as a positive force that keeps you out of the ditch. And three, we want you to give. We don't want you to withdraw and internally focus on your pain and why you can't get away from it. Because if you do that, you will live a shitty life. Okay, but what we want you to do as veterans is go back to your community, go back to your family, and be a person that uses your experiences and our wisdom to change people's lives. That's what we want. We hope you do that. We hope you do that. Powerful shit, right? That is powerful shit. And so I get these emails, and I mean, honestly, I don't find it discouraging. I find it sad that these Marines have had to, you know, again, like, Max, like, you're the smartest guy in the room? Like, yeah, no. Well, then, how did you figure this out? I don't know. I'm smart. I know I pay attention. I've always kept my head in the game. It's kind of sort of what I do in my life. It's how I got raised. There's no excuse for a mental mistake, right? Physical mistakes get made, but not having your head in the game, not paying attention, it's not how we do it. Okay. Got it. So I pay attention. Now, what I'll tell you is that if you pay attention, and again, in my life, traumatic things happened in my life. I wish, like most people, I wish I could have got away from it, but I couldn't. I mean, life didn't let me do that. I mean, the stuff that happened in my personal life, with my family and other stuff, did not allow me to get away. So, I mean, it kept coming back to me. And then, if you add in my experiences in Iraq and Afghanistan, that only increased it. And so, I was forced, right? I was forced to pay attention to it. It wasn't what I particularly wanted to. But I will tell you, I got good advice, but I didn't really get smart about this stuff until I started doing this. And I started talking with other people that had other experiences that told a different version of the same story over and over and over and over. And that's when I said, I've got to write something because of all the smart stuff that I've learned. And now when I read an email like I read to you a few minutes ago, I mean, to me, I think it's heartbreaking that these Marines did not have the good fortune of crossing paths with somebody who could have made them smart, who could have changed their lives, who possibly could have saved some of their friends by simply telling them the truth, by telling them the things that we know to be true, that we absolutely, positively know to be true. And, you know, as he says in the email, we've heard enough bullshit from general officers and sergeant majors and whatnot. We don't need any rah-rah shit, right? And so what I do is is what I do is I tell them, hey, this is blunt force trauma. This is blunt force. I call it blunt force truth. This is blunt force truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat this shit. I don't care if you like it. It doesn't matter to me. Because I know it's the truth. And if there's one thing I've devoted myself to, whether it's in the intellectual content for this program, or, I've tried to devote myself to things that are true. And I try. I'm not perfect at it. But, I try to do things that are right and things that are true. I think that's important. That's why I can't do politics. And that's no shit. Isn't the truth important? Well, I'll tell you what, if you just watched Nancy Pelosi and the charade she just put on, you would clearly conclude, we'll say it's important, but we all know it really's not. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right about that. And that's just, it's just the bullshit, the bullshit game that gets played in front of the American public for votes. It has no interest in the truth. The only reason that the truth is interesting to them because they can twist it or use it in the stupid game they play. And the game they play is not about making the nation better. It's about, right? It's about furthering their own political ends. Right? That's our system. And I don't think it's the same as it used to be. I think it's worse. And so, anyway. Let's see. There's one other thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Straits of Hormuz, right? But I've gone on for long enough. So we have to start this program, and then I'll talk about the Straits of Hormuz, because I sailed there years ago and had similar experiences. So, anywho. Good Thursday morning to you. Bob Nielsen is going to join me in about 18 minutes. So you'll hear him coming up at 9:05 Pacific time, which would be 12:05 on the East Coast. So you'll hear Bob Nielsen, and we'll talk to him. We'll find out what he's got going. The patron saint of all Marine radio. So we'll talk to him. I want to talk about the Straits of Hormuz because I'll tell you the story of what happened to me. When one night when the Navy sailed through the Straits of Hormuz and blew the shit out of a whole bunch of Iranian stuff. Yeah, no shit. It was awesome. Because we caught them laying mines. That we were watching them lay mines. The only difference between now and then is we could not see the video feed that certainly would come out of it now. So, anyway, good morning to you. We will officially get the show moving this morning. Last night was awesome. I didn't get home till like 2 in the morning. Normally, after I do post-traumatic winning, I'll hang out for about an hour and talk to anybody who wants to talk. And they do, from people who have grown up in really, really tough families that would love to turn around and help their families, guys who come up and ask about, what do I do with my girlfriend? She's had tough experiences growing up, but she won't talk to me about it. Will you come and do this? I work for this organization in this town. And that's what's fun about the reserves. They're good, as I said a little bit ago, they're going home. And, you're hoping that you can spread the gospel to reserve guys that they go home and go become part of their communities and hopefully say, hey man, I've got somebody that we should bring up here and listen to. So exciting stuff. Anyway, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this Thursday official. Good morning to you. We'll be right back. I said 124, but I did that the other day. COB 23, and they come from state of Washington, state of Oregon, my hometown, Sacramento. So Marines from up and down the West Coast, and then you know as reserve units are, you know they're scattered around. So they go to join their units on weekends, and they may fly in to do it. But no, I mean their graciousness last night as hosts to me was awesome. So I want to thank everybody out there, the Marines and the sailors, for being such a great group. And let me tell you, it's the coolest venue I've ever done it at. Right in the sand, outdoors, beautiful night. Right, I don't know. It started out, it was 100 and whatever degrees, 104, 105. Sun goes down. It cools off a little bit, so you know the evening's about 78 degrees after the sun goes down, and about an hour later, and so it's a beautiful night in the desert, as the desert tends to be, absolutely beautiful. So no, my thanks to them, and just an awesome venue to do post-traumatic winning is in, and for being a great host. So this is it's dedicated to the Marines and sailors of COB 23. Oops.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We'll check the weather here real quick. Currently cloudy and 69 degrees in Quantico. It's partly cloudy and 79 at Camp Lejeune. A little bit of cool weather down there. 29 Palms, already 89 degrees. Hottest days of the summer the past couple days. Cooling trend supposed to barely get to 100 today. We'll see. 89 in the morning, man. Doesn't got to go very far to get to 100, though, so good luck. Clouds in 63 at Pendleton. Sunny as the summer gets longer. And 77 degrees right now at Camp Smith in Hawaii. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and... Wait a minute. It says cloudy in 77. But it's got to be dark in Okinawa. So it tells me that something's wrong. It just says cloudy in 77 in Okinawa. All right. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is 99 degrees in Ramadi right now. In the Helmand province, it is dark, clear, and 84 in Marja, Afghanistan, in the Helmand province. And at the home of Almarine Radio, 65 degrees in Costa Mesa, California. Looking for a high of 70, mercifully, today. So it's going to cool off. All right, what I want you to do is break out your map. And I want to do a quick little history lesson. So, bust out your map. We'll kill Junior Walker. And I want you to go to the Gulf of Oman. So if you're sitting near a computer, and you can do that, you can go to the Gulf of Oman or the Straits of Hormuz, and you'll get to the same general vicinity. All right? So, around the world we spin. All right, so 1987, I'm on the USS Ranger. The incident where the Iraqis, who were not supposed to be our enemy, shot the USS Stark with a air-to-surface missile, air-to-ship missile, and killed a bunch of sailors. Happened. So we go in what's called Gonzo Station, which is the Gulf of Oman. Now, the stories coming out are that, like, geez, I wonder, right? Who, pray tell, could be planting mines in the Gulf of Oman? So you have the Persian Gulf, you have the Straits of Hormuz, and on the other side, what we would refer to back in the day as Gonzo Station, right, is the North Arabian Sea. The Gulf of Oman is the body of water that you go through right before you get to the Straits of Hormuz. So that's where I spent part of my life. Yeah, we would be cutting circles in the ocean there. We'd be at general quarters most of the time. So we're up there one night, and this happened on the other side of the Straits of Hormuz inside the Persian Gulf. We have a special helicopter, right? And it's watching an Iranian LCU put mines in the water. Watching them. Psh, they crack, request permission to engage LCU, and they read the whole number, Iranian flagged, putting, and they gave like the description of the mine. And it was like, the mine, it was like the top of it was like rounded with the spikes on it, right? And then it had this kind of cylinder that went below. And, you know, that, so, you know, we're looking at it in CIC, and I'm a first lieutenant. My job is to control the 50 cals that are on the external part of the ship. So we're watching this, right? And they said, in the CIC, they said, stand by. So the battle group requests permission, I guess, from the Pentagon to engage, and it took a few minutes. All of a sudden, comes back, permission granted. So they smoke the LCU. And again, it's what the Iranians do. Now, the next question is, they're not stupid, okay? So they're going to put mines, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it harder for the United States, because if they can contest the Straits of Hormuz and the Gulf of Oman, then guess what that does to the price of oil? So they're trying to exact a price out of the United States. That's what they're trying to do. Now, I mean, what should the United States do? What should the answer to that be? The answer to that should be the same answer it was in 1987. Send, track their surface vessels, because that's how they're doing this. I can't believe we don't have videotape of them doing it yet, because I can't believe we're late to the party on this. Right? Get drones up and watch what they do. Watch what they do. You'll catch them. Go look for their, put out our, this is the Navy thing. Put out our little, you know, water drones and have them go look for mines along these shipping lanes. They're there, trust me. We're hitting them. Somebody's hitting them. And so just go find them. And then once you find them, right, we'll disarm them and we'll find out, do the forensics on them, find out who put them there. You'll know. And then tell them, hey, do this again, right? And we're going to start sinking ships. So here's the story. here's the story as to, let's see. This is out of the Sun of the UK, so take it for what it's worth. Headline, Tanker Inferno, Gulf of Oman Attack. U.S. says it's highly likely Iran is behind a torpedo attack on an American-linked oil tanker and bombing of a second ship. Both the Front Altair and the Panama-flagged Kokuka Courageous, which was reportedly bombed, burst into flames, and were forced to evacuate in the troubled region this morning. The report says, according to CBS News, that the USS Bainbridge, which was in the area, rescued 21 of the 44 sailors involved in the incident in the Straits of Hormuz. The Panama-flagged Kokuka Courageous is believed to have been targeted by a magnetic mine, causing a series of massive explosions on board. The Norwegian shipping firm Frontline, which owns the Altair, has denied Iranian reports that the tanker had sunk. The ship was built in 2016, is flagged in the Marshall Islands, a U.S. associated state in the Pacific Ocean. Do chartered by Taiwan's state oil refinery, CPC Corporation. The huge vessel set sail from the UAE port of Ruwais on Tuesday and was due to arrive in Kaohsiung on June 30th. Speaking to Reuters, the CEO of CPC's petrochemical division, Wu Aifang, said the tanker was suspected to have been hit by a torpedo. The cargo is estimated to be worth $30 million. Now, here's exactly what the Iranians want. Okay? This is Paolo D'Amico, chairman of the tanker association, Intertanko, said concern was rising for other crews braving the powder keg shipping lanes. He said if the waters are becoming unsafe, the oil supply to the entire world could be at risk. That's what the Iranians want. So, anyway, there's a map that shows them hitting this, and as you, if you drew a straight line out of the Straits of Hormuz into the Gulf of Oman to bisect it, they would be closer to Iran, the reported area where both these things happened. And they didn't happen very far from each other. They would be closer to Iran than it would be on the Iranian side of that line, not the Omani side of that line. White House spokesman Sarah Sanders said the president has been briefed on the attacks on the ships in the Gulf of Oman. The U.S. government is providing assistance and will continue to assess the situation. Let me just tell you something, right? So we're going to play charades while the Iranians blow shit up? That's what we're going to do? It's a joke. If they want to go there, then we should go there with them. Right? We don't want to own Iran, but we'll sink all their navy, we'll blow their shit up, and they can pay. But again, weakness in front of totalitarian confrontation, all that does is begets greater conflict down the road if you won't go there. Right? We were reminded of that last week on the anniversaries of D-Day. All right, we'll take a quick break. Bob Nielsen joins us next. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.